Hello, my favorite listeners. Welcome back to the Working Within podcast, where we highlight Black leadership stories. For all of you newcomers, welcome. You're here listening to Working Within at the best time because we understand our purpose and our mission and are really happy to be sharing Black leadership stories with you. Today, I have a fabulous guest on my show. I have a funny story about how I met this guest on the show, too. You know, listeners, you've heard a little bit about old jobs, old responsibilities, and that's actually how I came to meet who we're speaking with today, Tara J, who is actually a mutual friend of someone who plays a very funny role in each of our lives. But after meeting with Tara, I knew that they definitely needed to be on the show just based on how much they care about youth in Colorado, Black youth in Colorado, Black queer youth in Colorado. And so it's really important that we gave them a platform to just share more about what they're doing and also share, you know, a little vulnerably too. And so that's what Working Within does. Thank you everyone for tuning in. And I'm going to pass to Tara J, who can introduce themselves and just share a little bit about what they do with the audience.
Wow, what an intro. How do you... Thank you so much. I am Dr. Tara J. My pronouns are they, them. And yeah, I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Oh my goodness. Okay. First, actually, this is very important. Listeners, Dr. Tara J. That's extremely important because you earned that. You did that. And I was just looking you up and I saw that you're extremely educated. Would you care to tell the listeners about that?
About my education? Whew. My education literally was, I feel like it was boot camp to be able to do the things that I'm doing now. Because I really, you know, anyone that usually comes to me and says, okay, I'm thinking about, you know, furthering my education, I'm always like, do it with caution. Because it is not for the weak. And I feel like it is a different way of going through military. Like, when it is broken down, I will honestly say that I am grateful that I had the opportunity and privilege, because it is a privilege to be able to do that, to go through the different degrees. And I don't often talk about the different degrees because I, you know, I don't want to sound elitist in that way. However, I do have to acknowledge.
We're talking about them.
Okay, we're talking about them. So it's an interesting way that I went about it, right? So I'm a high school dropout. I didn't think anything of it and didn't think that I was going to really go anywhere within my education. In high school, I was done. I couldn't deal with these people. It was too much. And the stuff that I was being asked for, I was kind of like, okay, so I'm giving it to you. You don't like it. And, you know, I don't want to deal with it. And then, you know, my mom definitely came back and was like, you don't actually get that choice. So you're going to finish, which I did. And I graduated. And then I went on to get my bachelor's, and it was within arts. Which I was extremely proud of doing. Went into photography, and that was one of my first loves. And from there, was told by several of the professors in my degree program, my advisors, that I would not make it into a master's program. So I said, bet. So I went and applied and went to an MFA program, which is a terminal degree, and finished it. And then I also remember, because I'm petty like this, I went back to that school to find that teacher to let them know, hey, I got my MFA. I wanted to check with you. But then, you know, after doing that, I looked up this teacher and that teacher was no longer there. So that's all I needed to hear. From there, I got to experience a lot of things. And the only reason that I actually went back for my PhD was because I was traveling abroad and was doing a lecture in a class. It was an art class and it was like a critical thinking class. And I was, these students definitely told me about myself, which I greatly appreciated because it was the reason why I went on for my doctorate. It was in Singapore, of all places, and they checked me because this is where I learned my level of privilege as an American and the freedoms that we have to access to knowledge. So this was also like, you know, back in the day when Google was just starting.
Yeah.
And in the class, we were looking at things and I said, well, you can just Google it. There was, it was questions about identity. And I was like, you can just Google it. And they were like, you Google it. I said, okay. So in front of this class of 300 people, I was like, can we just Google this? And they Googled it. And it, what it said was not found.
Mm.
I said, can you put in these keywords? Did other keywords, not found. And then I had to sit back and be like, right. Because only in the US do you actually have the ability to pull all of that knowledge. And that in many countries, no, that information is not available. And it was at that moment that I was like, oh, I gotta go back to school. I need to, one, excuse me, have an understanding of what it means to have access like this and how it actually impacts your mental health and wellness.
Mm.
So I went on for my PhD in counseling and ultimately have put counseling and art together. And yeah, here we are.
Here we are, y'all. I'm gonna have to get on Dr. Tara here because the introduction, we're gonna have to redo that. But I'm gonna let them introduce themselves slowly as they appear to want to, but we are going to get into some of the awesome, awesome work that is happening. But I first wanted to touch on a couple points that you mentioned, that a professor faculty underestimated you. That anger, that type of disrespect is so motivating and at the same time, so draining, because it's definitely not the first time or only time, right? I feel like every marginal person of an underrepresented group, of a disadvantaged group can tell easily five stories that have to do with someone doubting them, and that doubt either creating seeds of doubting themselves or creating that place of empowerment. And even if it creates that place of empowerment, doesn't mean it's okay. So I absolutely hear that. Absolutely is the reason entrepreneurship has to be the way, because I have to prove everyone wrong. And then, but outside of that, it's the truth. Like, but you do, yeah, you are a mental health person, and we have met, and it always feels like water when we talk, because it's always very like deep and connected and real. And so I want you to share now, how do you spend your time these days? Because the audience got a sense like, okay, you have a very thoughtful background and you care about mental health, but what are you doing now?
What am I doing now? I mean, that's a whole thing. What am I doing now? So I run an organization called Youth Scene, which I am the founder. Founded it in 2017 and...
Founder.
And I'm also, so I'm still doing mental health. So I'm a therapist in the community, a mental health therapist, and I do some consulting with organizations and working on their DEI efforts. And I also work at Rocky Mountain PBS and within their idea department. So I'm doing, you know, I'm doing a little bit in a lot of places. Yeah. Whenever I start talking about that stuff, I'm like, wow, I do a lot and I don't understand it, but also here I am doing it all.
You are. You are. And I just have to, I might have to add an honorable mention, not even an honorable mention. It's a mention that needs to be mentioned, is that you also co-founded Black Pride Colorado.
I did. I did.
Mm-hmm. What drove you to mm-hmm. do all those things?
So we'll start with Youth Scene first. I moved to Colorado in 2017. I went to work for an organization, and this is a funny story, but also not so funny. Went to a mental health organization, a queer mental health organization, and was quickly frustrated because a lot of the folks that were surrounding me were white. And as I was working on training and educational aspects and having lots of conversations around clinical needs, the big thing that I kept asking when we would have our clinical meeting, which was just talking about, you know, an overview of the clients that were coming in and how we can best support them, I kept being like, so when are we going to actually start talking about the race issues that keep coming up? Like, are we gonna acknowledge that? I also have to acknowledge that this is pre-pandemic. So pre this awakening that we talk about, you know, for everyone else, even though Black people were sitting here being like, what took y'all so long? Like, we've been talking about this. So, I had one more meeting of that. And it was like, are you going to bring this up every meeting? And I was like, yeah, every day that I have to walk out of the house and have to worry because my Black face is treated much differently than yours. Yeah, I'm going to bring it up every time. And then I said, you know what? This is actually, I don't actually have to put my energy into this. Mm-hmm. And I give myself 3 times to complain about something big. And then it's ultimately like, do it. So I turned around and filed all the paperwork and started Youth Scene because I was like, I know what it is that is needed. I see the void. I keep hearing about it. So why don't I just start building it? And Youth Scene came about. So I moved to Colorado in March of 2017. And by August, paperwork was filed and Youth Scene had started.
Wow. And what does Youth Scene do?
So Youth Scene is a mental health and wellness organization. And our focus is on cutie BIPOC, so queer, trans, Black, Indigenous, people of color. The underlining is our focus is on Black queer folks for us to take up space. However, we also welcome all LGBTQ folks. And I say it that way because it's important to acknowledge that we are blessed in this state to have quite a few organizations that focus on LGBTQ folks. We need some work on organizations. And what I mean by that is that there's not many organizations that specifically focus on queer mm-hmm. folks of color.
Yeah.
And making sure that those resources are affirming. So our organization looks at what it means to be affirming and meeting people where they are. So we do have a clinical aspect of Youth Scene, which is that one-on-one therapy, and also acknowledging that it is not normalized for most folks of color and more specifically Black folks. So it's also looking at how else we can provide that therapeutic care, that holistic care in the way that the community is asking for. So we look at it through our programming with our camp scene, which is focusing on our youth and getting them out into nature. The hope is quite soon that we can open that up and make sure that we are incorporating aspects that bring in young adults and adults and families. Because everyone, I truly believe that everyone needs to be out in nature in some way, shape, or form. Being in the house doesn't always help. I am definitely someone who can be on the couch, but also don't know how to do that very often. So that's one aspect that we have. Another aspect that we have is Black Pride Colorado, which was started in 2021. And that was really just a celebration of queer Black folks and taking up space during June, during Pride Month, because it was literally Black and brown folks that made sure that Pride existed. And I often think that people forget about that. It was our labor that made sure that a lot of our, you know, white counterparts have the ability to celebrate and be themselves. So we also like to take up space in the sense that we want to be celebrated too and actually be acknowledged for the hard work, emotional labor that we put into it to make sure that we're still here.
Yeah.
So we have that. And we also have our Transcene program. And Transcene is really a focus on non-binary and trans folks and really ensuring that they are getting the resources medically with mental health, wellness, basic things like for non-binary and trans men binders, like whatever is in need. It's just providing those resources and support for people to go through their journey. So Youth Scene overall is providing resources and showing up in the way that the community is asking for us to.
I want to put that in an orb on the screen. Wow. I just think there is so much value in hearing about stories of the passionate founder, and not just the passionate founder, like passionate about selling tech devices, like passionate founder who is rooted in community needs and who is making sure that there is a voice for those who are like kept out or not listened to or not celebrated. And so I just want to commend you for that work and also for listening to yourself, because I know for many guests on the show, and then for listeners who I know, we do get frustrated because that's not right for us. Like, things are not right. They're not meant to be. And the fact that you give yourself three times cannot teach me, because I've been complaining about stuff for months and I already know what I need to be doing. Just like, it's not happening. But I just commend you for that level of self-accountability, because it allows you to create the impact that you just described with Youth Scene and Black Pride Colorado and all that you do outside of that too. So that's freaking awesome. And thank you for sharing that with us, because this platform aims to amplify those stories and also inspire the next gen. Because, yeah, the reason you hate what you're doing is because you're not meant to be doing that. There's something inside of you to be unlocked. And so thank you for unlocking yours.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I do have to acknowledge a couple things. You know, when you were talking earlier that, you know, astrology is very much a part of this, I do need to acknowledge that I am a Capricorn first and foremost, right? And I know that it, like, there's a joke around it where it's like, astrology is not everything. Actually, it is. Mm-hmm. So yes, there's behaviors that are assigned to astrology signs. And, you know, I have the passion that comes in it is because, you know, my sun sign is Capricorn. My moon sign is Sagittarius, which is mm-hmm. where you get that fire. And then my rising sign is Cancer. So I have all the feels that go with it. So it's like my passion is all of it. And it is literally what keeps me moving forward.
Yeah.
And recently I had my birth chart read, and it was probably one of the most empowering experiences that I could have ever asked for. And what was told to me, so the question came to me, did you ever try to get out of the healing spaces, like outside of like curating these spaces for people, and what happened? And I said, yes, every time I try to get out of it, shit blows up in my face. Literally just blows up in my face. And it's almost like, you know, how many therapy sessions that I've had where it's like, I will sit there and be like, I don't understand what I am doing wrong. And then going to have this session with this person, and they were like, well, because your birth chart tells you that you're actually supposed to be in these spaces. And every time you try to step out of it, it's literally the universe being like, this is not going to go well for you. So I'm going to let you do this. I'm only going to give you a little bit, and then it's going to blow up, and then you're going to come back into the healing spaces. And also acknowledging how tiring that is.
Yeah.
Because being able to be in these spaces also means that you continuously have to do your own work, and doing not only like the positive work and really digging into what it is that you want, but also the shadow side of things, which is that deep rooted trauma that we all have experienced in one way or another, and making sure not to project that onto other people, right? So a lot of what happens within the work that I have specifically been doing is there are those moments where I know that I don't show up correctly, and I can acknowledge that, right? Because that's a part of the process of healing, where it's like, whoops, I totally fucked that up. And is there a way that I can repair that? And if there's not, that's okay too. But I also just need to acknowledge that. And also acknowledging that when you start to really heal, that trauma comes up, right? Where it's, you're so used to being in a toxic environment that even when you're given this like beautiful piece of, hey, let's heal, people are like, oh, hell no, we are not doing this. And it's like fight, 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 right? And how long are you going to put up with that? So it's like it's a both and. It's being able to say, hey, I'm on this healing journey. I'm going to screw it up because that's a part of the whole thing, but also acknowledge your screw ups. And what does it mean to repair? If you can repair, maybe repair even looks like severing things and being like really seeing things for what they are.
There's a theme here that I would like to name, and that is the self-accountability. Okay. You're so right that you can be in the safest environment ever and your traumas will throw up all over someone if you have not gone in and surgically removed those patterns from yourself. And it feels very surgical because it is precise in understanding what patterns create what actions in you. Man, and severance, letting things go, like really being okay with letting things go when they're not right anymore.
Yeah. And it's hard, you know, and it's also, what does growth mean for you? And I think that's,
and can you grow staying the same?
Right. Because none of us are the same person that we were yesterday.
This is true. All right, Dr. T, what is your personal mission statement then?
You know, this was a hard one for me. Because previously it was about service for others. Mm-hmm. And it's changing that my personal mission now is really about self-care for me. In order to show up for others. because I can't.
Say more about how you changed it.
That's a part of my own healing work, right? Where sometimes you have to look at what your past is and learning along the way that service work is not people pleasing, that service work is really about showing others what it means for them to show up for themselves and what it means to have boundaries. And, you know, you piss a lot of people off when you have always been open previously. And being that open also means that people walk on you. And when you say, this is my line, and you draw it in the sand, then people are often upset about that. And then also realize like, oh, so you're not the person that I thought you were, which was, no, you don't get to stomp all over me. And in order for us to work together, this needs to be a balanced situation.
How do you take care of yourself?
You know, I don't. As much as I will sit here and tell you this is important for you, I will totally acknowledge I do not take care of myself. I need to be better about it. And I see you just laughing over there. But yeah, it's something that I'm working on. I don't fully have an understanding of what it means to take care of myself until, you know, like my body starts to shut down. And then it's like, oh, I should probably take some time off. I'm doing little things a little bit more so. I make sure to, you know, be talking to my therapist on a weekly basis, which I really appreciate that she deals with me. I think that's the starting point, but then also, you know, at the end of the day, it's really coming home and resting. And however that looks, and sometimes it looks like just having complete silence, because I can't take in any more information. And then sometimes it's, you know, just going to bed early and just letting things roll off. So yeah, to answer that, I don't take good care of myself, but I'm still a work in progress around that.
Why do you think you don't take good care of yourself?
Because I'm still unlearning what I learned as a kid, right? Where I grew up, thinking that taking time off was laziness.
Yes.
And that you constantly had to be productive. And sometimes being productive means sitting on the couch and processing what you just fucking went through. Where it's, you had a hard week. Use the weekend to process it. You're allowed to do that and not do anything, because that's being productive. Because rest is productive. Mm. So it's relearning.
Yeah. As the daughter of a military officer, that resonates. Like, why are you still asleep? It's 10 a.m. What do I need to be up for? I'm 12. Like, but at the same time, unfortunately, it's been a great asset, you know, in this life to kind of have that extreme work ethic. At the same time, it comes at an expense. And I agree with you. I absolutely know when I literally cannot work anymore, because I can work through many circumstances. Tiredness, high stress, short deadline. But when my body is like, you cannot do this, I'm like, oh, are you sure? And I try, you know, I'll still sit there like, okay, I know I need to finish this. And it'll be like, you need to take a nap. That's what you need to do. And having to listen to that, you really do have to retrain yourself, because so often I'm like, that's not okay. Like, my immediate response to my own body is, no, you're not right. Like, I know. Like, I would know. What are you looking forward to right now? What's up next for you? More rest, more work, another project?
I'm working on another project, which actually extends the work that I'm currently doing at Rocky Mountain PBS. I am really looking for another platform, essentially, to uplift Black creatives' voices. I'm not gonna go too much into it, but, you know, there's something to be said when we have the ability to share our experiences and tell our own stories that allows for others to be able to tell theirs. So working on that and working on a project that is very near and dear to my heart, which is a whole project around getting people out in nature and being able to use nature as a healing spot. So more to come on that one as well. And the other project is my own project, which is taking more time off and really focusing on that, focusing on how I can recharge so that I have energy to fulfill these other projects.
Yes. Yes. I just want to double first, all of those sound extremely exciting. Listeners, you heard it here first. but what is your, how does your body speak to you? When you know it's time to change, to stop, what happens? I want to make this really tangible for the listeners, just so, you know, depending on where folks are in their journey, they're able to relate.
So my body does several things. to the point of like my body completely shutting down. Last year, I got extremely sick and was sick for a little over a month. And for 3 of those weeks, I couldn't get off the couch. Like my body said, you good. Like, you don't want to listen? Great. We're just going to shut it all down. And I remember going into my doctor and my doctor was like, I mean, I don't really have anything to say. Like, listen to your body. Your body is telling you exactly what you need, which is sleep, rest. Like, you need to recharge. Your body is telling you you're done. Mm-hmm. And we don't often think about that. And, you know, and specifically as Black folks, because our bodies actually are very in tune with what is happening with us. That I often hear, like specifically from Black women, heart issues, intestinal issues, stomach issues. And it's literally bodies being like, yeah, ooh, hi. So I'm going to need you to slow it down.
Yeah.
And I really need you to process that thing that just happened, because the fact that you're not dealing with that, you're also not dealing with like all of that other stuff, which is going to come through. But let's start with this one. You know, in my practice right now, I want to say that 98% of the folks that I work with are Black women. And I can tell you across the board, they all have the same symptoms, in the sense that they're, again, stomach issues, intestinal issues, the lack of motivation, but constantly have to holding on to this, but I have to be strong. And I'm always like, but sometimes being strong is taking that nap. Sometimes being strong is saying, no, I don't have time nor the capacity to be able to do that. Sometimes being strong is literally saying, I can't. Or I don't want to.
Yeah.
Those are the things that, you know, as Black women, and, you know, I'm also acknowledging while I identify as non-binary, I am still socialized as a Black woman. There's a lot of that stuff that comes up and, you know, showing a lot of the symptoms that come up with that. And we deserve rest. I will fully say that it is Black women is the reason why the society is still functioning.
Oh my God.
And let me be very clear about that. Functioning in the sense that we are, I put this out at one point that, you know, Black women are considered the canaries in the coal mines. We always know there is something wrong way before it is even acknowledged. And credit needs to be acknowledged where credit is due.
Say that. We're pulling that out for a quote. I already know.
Yep. And it's, you know, it's difficult because we don't ask for a lot of acknowledgement. And I'm saying we, the collective we don't ask for that acknowledgement. And the reason why this country is here, outside of colonization, I'm going to name that, but the reason why things are built up the way they are is off of Black people's backs,
bodies. That's, you know, why we don't listen to them. We couldn't.
We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here, and having, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do have, you know, and it makes me happy and sad all at the same time that, like, now is the time that truth is being told about our history, but also the fact that so much of our history has been erased.
Yes.
And, you know, like, we don't even know ourselves half the time, which is ultimately where that trauma comes from.
Mm. That's so true. Can go back about 3 generations and then it's nothing.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me excited. I because again, it's that anger and just being done and over it that is really motivating. So I'm excited for you to be amplifying these stories even more in your next projects. Because we can keep going here, but as we start to wrap this up in a shiny bow, as all podcast episodes do, of course, I want to know, like, our listenership is pretty young, usually very creative, aligns with spiritual values or a faith system, and mm-hmm. what advice do you have to the young creators and entrepreneurs? As you've, you know, obviously founded multiple organizations and initiatives, gone through school, what advice do you have to the next gen of really awesome Black leaders?
Follow your heart and use your voice, because your heart will always tell you where you need to go. Not your mind, because your mind is conditioned mm-hmm. to do certain things. Follow your heart. And while you're following your heart, Use your voice, because when you do, you will be heard. It might take a minute, but you will be heard. And sometimes your voice can show up in your creativity. Mm-hmm.
You will be heard, absolutely. Because as long as you aren't speaking, no one can listen. And then you're like, why isn't anyone listening to me? Well, right. No one's heard you. We don't know what you have to say. Mm-hmm. Speaking of someone who has definitely mm-hmm. done that.
mm-hmm. Well, and you know, when the big thing is too, like, it's also important to acknowledge that sometimes your voice is not like your actual voice, right? Sometimes your voice is, how are you showing up in the community? Because, you know, I can sit here and say, there's many times that I don't feel heard, and then I have to look back and see the projects that I've worked on, what I've done with Youth Scene, what I've done with Black Pride, with the support of other people. Because I didn't do this alone. Like, I also need to acknowledge that. This was not done just because, like, hey, this is all the things that I'm doing. I did it because I had folks around me who believed in me and supported me through it. And that's a part of my voice as well. being able to look around and seeing who is supporting you, that's louder than anything that you could say, even in a whisper.
Yeah, your mentors, sponsors, people that can amplify mm-hmm. your message and purpose on your behalf, who want to support you. It's the only reason. Yeah. Yeah. Can't even count on one hand the people that have contributed everything that exists now. Is there anything that you feel on your heart you need to share? You know, we're listening to our hearts. As we wrap up, I definitely want listeners mm-hmm. to know how they can connect with you, but I also want to create space, because space is another one of the themes of this episode. Is there mm-hmm. anything you would like to share with this yeah. platform?
You know, I think the biggest thing that I just want to, you know, acknowledge is that reach out. If there's someone that you want to connect with, reach out. Oftentimes I hear, you know, from folks that I work with closely, where it's, oh, Tara, you're too busy. And I'm like, but I'm never too busy that if someone reaches out that they want to talk, I will make space for that, because that's important. Yeah, so I'm around, you know, find me on Instagram, find me on Facebook, email me. Yeah, I will make time. It might take me a minute to get you back, but I will respond. And I think that's important. Yeah.
Can you share your Instagram and email handles and LinkedIn?
Yeah. So on LinkedIn, it's Tara J, and you'll see a funny little picture of me being up on the side of a wall being like, geez. I gotta look up, because, you know, I don't pay attention to this stuff, which is terrible. my Instagram is TJ's, so it's TJAES. It is private, so you're gonna have to request me. I'm on the Twitters. And you know, this is terrible. While I don't really post a lot on Twitter, but it's Dr. TJ's, so DrTJAES. And what else? Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn.
Yeah. I am doing this live, just so you know, listeners. So do it live with me.
Yep, I saw it come up.
It's happening.
Yeah. And I'm always, you know, I'm always up for conversations. So, yeah.
I endorse that, because we've talked quite a few times. They are super busy and still make the time. So I really appreciate that. And thank you for making time for all the people that you do, obviously, especially in this healing space, which definitely is, it's a responsibility. It is something you take seriously. That Capricorn energy, it's serious to you. So thank you for just doing the work you do, and for being here for the people you support.
Yes.
And with that, listeners, want to say first, you're welcome for bringing Dr. T on the show, because wasn't that amazing? I really do hope you seek to connect with them and support the work they're doing with Youth Scene, with Black Pride Colorado, and look forward to the work that they're also doing with Rocky Mountain PBS, because Black stories are important. That's the whole purpose of all of this, because it's really no longer acceptable that our stories are erased or left from the mainstream. Otherwise, thank you again for listening to Working Within. We love hosting this type of discussion. Let us know what you think. Connect, comment, and subscribe. And we will be back with another episode soon.